Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Professors In podcast. As always, we are delighted to have you here with us. I am Dr. Karen Kelski of the Professors In, and I am the person behind the outrage machine on the Facebook page and Twitter. And when I'm not doing that, I'm working with the editing team, editing your job documents and your grant applications and all of those things, and helping you negotiate academic offers, which are still starting to trickle in. So I guess there's one or two jobs still going through this year.
And I am Kel Weinhold, and I am the productivity coach for the Professors In, and I prep people for interviews. I was about to say in-person interviews, but there's no such thing right now, so just face-to-face interviews.
Job talks, campus visits.
Yes, all that sort of stuff, though. As Karen mentioned, that's a lot less right now. So let's see. I wanted to tell you about a couple of things. First of all, as we've already announced a couple of times, we're no longer on the Himalaya platform. Did a bunch of heavy lifting and moved over to a new podcast host, which has no bearing on you. You don't need to know the host, but it's there and it'll start showing up in all your feeds again. The other thing that our new way of doing it has done is that every single episode is loaded directly onto the Professors In website. So if you go to theprofessorsin.com/podcast, you will find every episode that we've done so far. That's 40 episodes, by the way. The other thing is that you may have heard or seen, and this will be a couple weeks after it occurred, but that we had a Facebook kerfluffle, first a hack, and then they shut down the page. And so we are moving over to Mighty Network, which is a different social media platform that's created by a woman. But we're moving it'll still happen on Facebook, but we're moving the job advice, whether that's academic or post-ac job advice, over to there. We're also going to create a community around the podcast, so you'll be able to come over there and join a membership community to ask questions or follow up. And we will also be, in the next couple of weeks, getting our act together to record these podcasts as videos, and they will be available also there. And more interesting, maybe, for some people, is that you will be able to, if you are on Mighty Network, you will be able to watch us live record the podcast before the actual edited version comes out. So you'll get to see us make faces at each other and cough and get confused and say, hey, delete that. But so we want to invite you to come over to join us at Mighty Network. You can find out how to do that on the Facebook page, on the Professors In page, in the blog. We've already announced it. It'll come out in the newsletter. Really should sign up for the newsletter in case the evil empire blocks us again. We can still reach you with different things.
So. Because of that experience with Facebook, we are doing a push to have everybody who follows us subscribe to the newsletter, because that is the only really insurable, non-hackable way of communicating with you to give you updates about the business.
Basically, what we want is for you to know that we want to be able to reach you with lots of different cool things. We really want you to come over and join the Mighty Network page, because we're looking to have some really great discussions about the job market. Well, about a lot of things, about how to do this whole tenure thing if you're there, how to think about working somewhere else if you're not there. Just kind of a little bit more intentional community digging into those things. So I really hope you come and join us.
And, I mean, we will still have a way to be a member, to sign up to support the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to be right on Mighty Networks, right?
Yeah. There'll be a podcast group.
Right.
That's a membership group. So, uh-huh. But as always, the podcast itself, this one, remains free. We may do member-only episodes like we did with Himalaya, but we may just do extra stuff. Mm-hmm. So I just want to keep you apprised of all of those things and as we try to sort out how best to support you in this
time that only gets weirder.
Yeah, time
and
that
harder.
Only gets weirder and harder.
Faith? The upshot is that we promised that it would be a series on
leaving the academy.
Leaving the academy.
Or
and doing a hard reset.
or leaving your toxic relationship with the academy. Because I'm always making the case that sometimes if you feel like you need to leave, maybe you don't. Maybe you just need to leave the way you relate to it.
Yeah, for sure.
But we did talk about that last week. So what we're going to talk about this week is actually a couple little practical, tasks that you can begin to do to think about who you are in relation to the academy, which will give you an idea of who you could be in outside of that relationship.
All right. Well, get us started.
Yes, ma'am. So the first sort of step that we're going to do today, we're going to do two things. One thing we're going to do is called, we're going to take stock, right? What I want out of this episode is for everybody in the academy, everybody, no matter what rank you are, I want you to take stock of where you are. And then we're going to talk about the practical work of how you begin to identify your skills. So the taking stock thing actually is from Martha Beck's book, Finding Your Own North Star. And what she's trying to do there is help people have this experience where they, where they're following their joy and they look at what joyful is. To do that, she has them do a walkthrough of their life. Like, she has them do a walkthrough of their house, right? So walk through your house and find out the negative spaces. And I saw that and thought, oh my gosh, this is, would be epic to do this in your, so then COVID showed up and like, how are you supposed to walk around your office when you can't even go to your office, right? Except you can. So the first challenge that I want you to take up this week is to do a mental, or if you can do physical, if you go, if you're on campus.
Well, some people are.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but they are.
Do a walkthrough of your day. Like, and it's kind of nice if you can do it in your head because you can do it faster than a day. But if you're on campus for a whole day, do a walkthrough of your day. As you're going through your day, note your response to it. So I thought about this, Karen. What were you in, Condon Hall at Oregon? Is that where you were? Is that the right, the right one where the anthro department was?
Yeah.
So like, walk yourself in the door of the hall. Right? You go up those big front stairs. Right. There's two sets of them, one outside, one inside.
Right.
So what was your feeling when you used to walk up those stairs?
At Oregon? You know, you're saying that. I don't really have any real gut feeling about that at all.
How nice.
Yeah.
Because I could tell you if I asked you to do that with...
For UIUC.
Whatever that building
was.
Yeah,
that PLC. Or no, not no, PLC, no, no, sorry. PLC. I was...
it's the FLB.
FLB,
yeah. Foreign Language Building. There's a whole different emotional reaction, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right? So I can feel that way. Like if I look at Oregon and walking into Allen Hall, just walking up the stairs down Allen Hall. I used to like to walk up the stairs to Allen Hall. And then... I used to like to walk into the office. I actually liked walking into the office.
Yeah, I liked walking into the office too, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
The mailboxes, the conversation, you'd always run into.
The staff were hilarious.
Yeah.
This was at Oregon.
Right.
Quite a bit different.
Than when I walked into whatever the communications building was at UIUC, right? So I want you guys to do that. Walk in the building and notice your response to walking in. Right? Because that could be your global feeling about the whole thing, or you can start to parse out, why did that really happen? So then
it's
funny
because as you're talking, it's reminding me of Queen's Gambit and how she would lie in bed and stare at the chessboard on her ceiling and imagine moves and games. And anyway, so it's given, if you are among those who can't go into your office, you can lie in your bed and imagine, stare at your ceiling, just like the person in Queen's Gambit.
And you can also... Draw it. You can get an eight by 11 piece of paper, whatever a piece of paper is. Who cares? Good God. This is how far we've come, or how far we've fallen. How big is a sheet of paper? Anyway, draw it. Like, draw your map.
Right.
And start to pay attention. So the most,
your hallway and who's down the hall, you know, who's in the offices next to you.
Right.
And all that.
So you pay attention to your reaction to each thing. What do you feel like when you go in your office? What do you feel like when you walk down the hall? What do you feel like as your day progresses when you
walk into that coffee shop or that, you know, that place?
Or into the classroom. Do you have the same feeling when you walk into any classroom?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a different feeling when you walk into one class or another class? So just pay attention. Because if you're teaching three classes a day, and even if you're on Zoom, you can start a class with a sense of dread. You can start it with a sense of anticipation. You can say, I cannot believe anybody ever has to teach in Dede Hall ever, which was a hall at Oregon. And if you had to be on the third floor of it in the fall when it was hot, there's no air conditioning. It's like, I never understood why they ever scheduled a class there because mm-hmm. you just lost people. They mm-hmm. just quit coming.
Mm-hmm.
So do that,
mm-hmm.
right? Your office at FLB, at U of I, you probably felt really good about because it was so pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Your office at U of I was so pretty.
Department head office.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I basically went in on the weekend and painted and carpeted before they, because I didn't want to ask permission.
Because they wouldn't.
Because they would have said no, so I just did it.
And then you hung up artwork.
And I hung up artwork.
I might be the wrong pronoun there.
Who painted that office?
Who painted that office?
Right.
Just saying. Okay, yeah. So so that's the first thing we're going to do. Now, here's the next step in the process. A la Martha Beck. Identify the yuckiest, ickiest, worst feeling place mm-hmm. in that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
What is the place? Is it your office?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the faculty office? Is it the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she's having you do this in your house. She's having you, then the next step she has you do is she has you bracket that. Okay, put it down. Great. Now we found the icky spot. Let's just leave that alone for a while. We don't need to dwell there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, let's go over here and think about the thing that you love, the thing that brings you joy,
mm-hmm.
the little moment, the little spark of pleasant in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which doesn't have to be work, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
In fact, likely not.
All right. Because it sounded almost like you were saying, now find the thing that gives you joy when you're there. There might not be anything now.
I was thinking more like, I love the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I love
petting my rabbits.
Right, right. So you may love your rabbits. You may love your cat. You mm-hmm. may love the ocean. You may love hiking. You may love canoeing. I always do outdoor stuff. What are things people
dancing.
Do that are not outdoor stuff? Dancing.
With your dance group by
right?
Zoom. Even by Zoom.
You may love
by numbers.
You may love your iPhotos of flowers that you mm-hmm. take every day. I mean, I don't care what it is, but mm-hmm. it's that thing that's like, look. It mm-hmm. might be your baking.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And find a small representation of that in physical form. So like for you, you might have a little carving of a bunny.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Which I do have all over
you
the
have
house.
All over the house. You have right. little carvings of bunnies mm-hmm. all over the house, which mm-hmm. actually those are showing sort of Martha Beck at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So find, maybe it's a rock.
Well, about a year or two ago, I noticed that in fact, virtually all the decor around my house, the objects, not the paintings, but the objects are animals. And not just bunnies. There's ducks. There's bears.
There's wacky geese.
Wacky geese. There are the penguins.
Yep.
There's that pig.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, there are
none of that
everywhere.
Was intentional.
Right. But you have a farm.
Yeah.
You have a farm of animals.
Mm-hmm.
Which you have taken to putting in the front window so small children can see them when they walk by. And
right.
all the little kids on walks stop and wave. And
right.
look at the animals.
Exactly.
So this is a perfect example, right? So you find that thing that is a representation of a thing that gives you joy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you guys had had the opportunity to travel with Karen around the world like I have, we've gone very few places that we haven't ended up somewhere she's not talking in her high-pitched animal voice to an animal. We've seen, you know, bunnies and sheep and goats and cows and birds and
Highland coo.
Hetty coo. Anyway, we've seen them all. And she has the same like,
oh, hello.
Right. Okay. Anyway, so find that,
you?
Right? Find your joy and find the physical representation of your mm-hmm. joy. If it's possible for you, go put that thing in that icky place.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you may not want to take your bunny sculpture and go put it in the staff office, right?
Right.
But you can take your bunny sculpture and put it in your own office so you can keep coming back to a place of joy
mm-hmm.
rather than to the icky spot.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what you're trying to do is keep replacing the icky with the good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think that this is this is a larger metaphor for what you're trying to do with your job,
mm-hmm.
right? You're identifying what you don't like, mm-hmm. identifying the hard places and replacing them.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean you replace the job necessarily. It
doesn't have to mean you replace the whole job.
It means
like throw out the whole man.
Right. Well, it's kind of like grading.
Uh-huh.
Right. I haven't met any. I had a client tell me that they had a friend who liked grading. I have worries about that person.
Yeah.
But anyway, most people don't like grading, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to throw out grading. But we can keep shifting what we do with student assessment till we get to the point that it's a place of not discomfort,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. we keep tweaking and tweaking and tweaking until we say, oh, yeah, grading doesn't bother me.
Because
mm-hmm. we start doing the cost-benefit analysis and it's saying everybody's always done it this way and it's stupid, so mm-hmm. let's do it a different way. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a great metaphor for find the thing that's icky, find the things that's joyful, replace that and shove out the icky.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So okay. That's your first step, mm-hmm. the first concrete step of this.
What I want to say in response to that is that it sounds a little pop psychology, yes. self-help. And I think what I'd want to remind our listeners is that doing this is not necessarily an end in itself.
No.
As in, okay, you put your little rabbit on the shitty office staff's desk because, you know, she hide it because she would never say yes or whatever. And that's going to make her not be shitty and you not be miserable. No, that's not going to happen. What I think is important about what you're saying is that you are reclaiming some ownership of the experience, that you are reconfiguring your relationship to it from being a victim who's helpless in the face of it to an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you're an actor doesn't mean you're going to be a successful actor in any one particular goal, but being an actor is a very different,
right. Very different
status thing. Than being a victim and just being at everybody's mercy.
Well, I also think the other thing about it is that the thing that I see as the value in it is that we so easily create, globalizing statements and keep telling ourselves those things. I hate my job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you? Let's walk through it. Let's walk through and find out what you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? It might be just one small part that has grown to consume mm-hmm. all of the other things that you actually enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might be walking along saying, I can do this job. I'm fine. It's okay with me. Mm-hmm. And you do this little test we give you and 5 out of 6 things make you ill. And you say, really?
Oh.
Can you keep doing this job?
Maybe it wasn't as good as I thought.
Maybe it's not quite as tolerable as I thought it was. And so it's not, I 100% agree with Karen. If you're reading this as like, put up a bunny sculpture and your life's going to be better. No, it's forcing you into parsing mm-hmm. and identifying and taking responsibility for like, nope. I'm going to focus on something I enjoy. I'm not going to focus on you.
Mm-hmm.
You make my whole day miserable, but you're 10 minutes of my day.
Right.
So I'm going to put this bunny sculpture in my office. And when I start to obsess on you
mm-hmm.
and give you more than the 10 minutes I actually interact with you,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to switch over here and look at this thing that brings me joy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some neuropsychology in there as well. Neuroplasticity, I should say. Maybe they're the same. I don't know. So we've done that. We've done it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Identified it, mm-hmm. looked at it, found a thing to replace, to do the joy replacement on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's basically all we want to ask you to do in that
particular task,
right? The question I'd have you leave this particular task with
mm-hmm.
is, what could I remove from my current job to increase my happiness?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get those answers as you go along, but mm-hmm. we asked you to
do. So it's adding a manifestation, a talisman of positivity, and then beginning to address subtracting
right.
one of the key points of negativity.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's basically saying, okay, I found a thing I hate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to think about a thing I like. And then you ask the question at the very end, so what could I take away? Mm-hmm. Instead of just like overlay pop psychology, but what can I actually get rid of?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? I'm not going to be on that committee anymore. Mm-hmm. Thank you. But this is crushing me. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to rescue you. Thanks. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our first concrete step.
Yeah.
And, folks,
and some of them could be interactions with toxic colleagues. I mean, a lot of in a university setting, probably less so now that we're all on Zoom, but there are interactions that are avoidable.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's habitual that you always end up in this conversation, or just because it's habitual that this committee insists on stupid meetings, 1 hour meetings when it could have been a 5 minute email. There are, you know, do an inventory of places where you can reclaim some control and say, no, actually, I because of my other responsibilities, I'm not available for that Zoom meeting, but I am available to discuss this by email, and I will start the conversation. Expect an email from me in the next 10 minutes. Boom, done.
Yep.
Don't wait for them to say, okay.
Yeah.
Sort of like that principle that with my painting my office, better to ask forgiveness later than permission.
Yeah, because permission stops. So just as a little aside before we go on to the next thing about reframing your skills. If you're really struggling with your Zoom space and your Zoom office or your office at home in lockdown, try the same experiment. Go find the thing you hate and replace it with something you like. Like if you hate the chair, get a new chair if you can afford it, or get a pillow to make it better. But keep finding the thing that causes you the most misery and replace it. Mm-hmm. Remove it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have about 10 minutes left here, and we're just going to position you to be successful for next week's podcast, which will be all about your skills assessment, which Karen can talk to about extensively. She's done webinars on it, everything, to begin to see yourself as something more than an academic. But we were thinking it might be interesting to do the same walkthrough with your skills.
Yeah, as a preliminary step, to think about what of your skills are the ones that bring you joy and what of your skills are the ones that you are grudgingly, you know, you feel like you're oppressed by. And I was actually just telling
my daughter,
Miyako, when I was talking to her recently, I said that grandma, in other words, my mother, used to have a phrase she always said, which was, don't be a victim of your lesser talents. What you define as your lesser talents are going to constantly change over time. So, for example, myself, the 15-year dedicated effort to learn to speak and read Japanese fluently was certainly my greater talent back when I was a faculty member. But if I had stayed attached to that, to the Japanese specialization, I never would have started The Professor Is In. And I know that the work I do here at The Professor Is In, being this kind of a gadfly of, you know, commentary and about the ethics of higher ed and hiring, that would never have happened. So in a way, my greater talent of Japanese proficiency became my lesser talent, and I had to redefine it. I would have been a victim of my lesser talent if I had stayed committed to that. So I just think it's really interesting that as we think about these skills, some of these skills that are your greatest claim to fame up till now aren't necessarily your greatest claim to fame anymore if you do an honest assessment of them.
So if in future episodes when we're recording us, you'll see me going, making all sorts of faces to this. First, like, wait, that's not I thought what we were going to talk about. And then second, wait, I see that it's different. So let me just run through it. So when I was talking about sort of walking through, doing the walkthrough with your skills, I was actually thinking, walk through all those spaces and make a list of the skills you use to operate in those spaces. Mm-hmm. That's all I was looking at.
Okay.
It's like, okay, so go to the front office. Mm-hmm. What do you use there? Well, you use relationship building and you use time management.
Quote,
and you
unquote, use soft skills.
Soft skills, right? Mm. So I was thinking about that. But I also think that's just brilliant. And I was so glad you said it. Notice which skills which ones you downplay or disrespect or like, whatever, I can do that, and the ones that you have a lot of pride in.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you started talking about your Japanese and it being sort of your greater talent, and now it's your lesser talent. And I thought, but your Japanese isn't a talent. That's something you acquired, or it's not a skill. It's something, it is, but you acquired it because of something that's inherent in the way you operate. and you are as good at assessing and evaluating and digging into the academic job market as you were in acquiring the cultural knowledge mm-hmm. that you needed to be successful as a Japan scholar. Mm-hmm. So your skill is the same.
So there's a skill.
There's an outcome.
That's a kind of a determination, a fearlessness. Because right. when in the 80s, and it was the 80s when I started, and Japan had not happened yet.
Right.
So everybody said, what are you doing? You are throwing your life away. What a worthless thing to major in. Then Japan happened, and everybody said, oh, you were brilliant. And I was like, I was still the same person. I still wanted to be a Zen nun. I was still as weird as the day is long.
Skill is resistance.
But yeah, I mean, I guess if you draw it back that far, yeah, my greatest talent is I don't give a fuck
right.
what you think.
Right.
Don't even talk to the hand, or don't even talk to me and talk to the hand. And yeah, so, but in any case, if this really disjointed discussion helps you at all, it's that you can look at one skill, anything, pick anything. Is it your, you know, I can't extrapolate to you in physics or you in accounting or whatever, but you can unwrap that, the layers yes. of that, like yes. an onion.
Yes.
Going back to some pretty foundational truths of who you are.
And who you perceive yourself to be.
Yeah, who you perceive yourself to be and who you want to be.
Right.
And these are all valuable things. And please put all of these things on your inventory as you do it. And I guess if I were to make an inventory, it would be like the fuck you very much would be on a list of my inventory. Skills.
And I think that in reality, what if you want to get prepped for, if you want to do your homework for the next episode, your homework is really going to be the skills, right? I speak Japanese.
I'm saying add these other things.
And I'm saying that the next episode where you have a great talk about how to start parsing those out to be able to make it. Actually, the Japanese is the outcome, but the skill is mm-hmm. the fuck you. So we'll dig into that.
I already said that, but yes, we'll say it again next time.
We'll find a way to say it for 30 minutes. All right. You know, I'm always fascinated when we're gone for a while, we come back, and then I have this total spiral at the very end of like, did that make sense? But anyway, hope it made sense.
And we really appreciate it when you bother to get in touch and tell us you like the podcast, because honestly, we end up at this point at the end of every one of them thinking, what even was that? Right, so please tell us if you find these valuable. We do read all of them and appreciate them.
All right.
So thank you, and hang in there, and please stay safe.
All right. See you soon.
Bye.
Talk to you soon.